This is 7-5 Radio with Walter Yerkew and Peter Scoop Stanton. This is the radio show that will break your neck if your neck needs breaking. And here are the hosts of 7-5 Radio, Walter Yerkew, star of the biggest documentary movie ever made, The 7-5, and Peter Scoop Stanton, who starred in To Catch a Predator.
Hey guys, it's Walter Yerkew today again. How are you? Pete Scoop is going to be on hiatus again. He's got some type of secret government project going on or something, so he's not going to be with me this week. But we have Jay. Jay's going to be in about 20 minutes. Try to have him in by the second break. He and I are going to talk about some stuff that we discussed yesterday on the phone. And it'll prove to be a good show, better show when he gets up here. I want to touch on this. Anybody hear about Michelle Obama, the self-proclaimed forever First Lady of the United States? Does anybody know where that's come from? It seems that she announced this, that she's named herself as the forever First Lady during a speech on Wednesday. And it sent the crowd into a little bit of a tizzy. Because nobody really knew what she was talking about. And if anybody out there knows what she's talking about or why she's making this claim, please send me an email or send me a note on Twitter, because I just don't understand it. seems like she wants to follow the footsteps of old Hillary Clinton in becoming some type of speaker for all women, self-proclaimed speaker for all women. I can't remember any other first ladies in my time, my lifetime, that have done this. You had Jackie Kennedy. She went off and she got married again, and she just did her own thing. She's tried to stay out of the limelight, keep the kids out of the limelight. You had Lady Bird Johnson. She planted a lot of seeds across the United States and made our parkways beautiful. But beyond the presidency and being first lady, she was quiet. Mrs. Nixon, Pat Nixon, she was kind of quiet too afterwards. Then you had Betty Ford. I mean, you know, these women were quiet. You know, God bless, rest in peace, Barbara Bush. She stayed out of the politics. Laura Bush stayed out of politics. But on either end of that, you had Hillary Clinton and now Michelle Obama. I just don't get it. You know, why don't they just go away, have a nice day, have a nice life? They were first lady for, you know, 4, 8 years, whatever it was, and strictly by marriage, you know, potluck. She married this dude 30 years ago and he became president and she becomes first lady. Strictly potluck on all of them. Nobody knew that they were going to be first women, first ladies of the United States, the first family. Hey, go away. Do something else. Try to find somebody else that's going to listen to you. You know, maybe an open crowd will listen to you and be more receptive. I just don't see her claiming herself as any kind of self-proclaimed anything beyond just what she is right now, a housewife. And there's nothing wrong with being a housewife. Don't get me wrong, ladies. Nothing wrong being a housewife. She just needs to step out of the political arena. So does her husband, and let this man, Donald Trump, go ahead and show them what being president is all about. And of course, our lovely Melania, first lady, a lot of class with that woman, a lot of class, farm born, farm bred, came to this country. Beauty queen. Not much more you could say. She's came to America, did it the right way, and she's living the American dream. A lot more dream than a lot of other people, but she's doing good. So, Michelle, please. Enough with the carrots and the celery and the schools. Let the kids eat what they want to eat. Let the parents worry about their weight when they get home. That's where you should have sunk your teeth into, so to speak, pardon the pun. Is get in touch with the families that are making our children obese. instead of attacking the schools, even though their food is garbage too, from what I understand. Another person in the news this week is the Bill Cosby. You know, the prince is in the pudding. excuse me. Sinusitis. It's a lot of pollen going on down here in Middle Tennessee, so excuse me for coughing. Mr. Cosby, found guilty, 3 counts. Each count holds 10 years. What are they going to do with this guy? Apparently, he's blind, destined for a wheelchair, but that's no reason to keep him out of jail. Apparently, Pennsylvania, where he's going to be doing this jail time, has programs for people such as he in his medical conditions. If he's in a wheelchair, they will have a peer prisoner push him around wherever he's got to go, whether it's to the infirmary, to the mess hall, to commissary, to visiting. He will be, or he could be, assigned a peer prisoner. Ain't that something? He can also be placed in the medical unit for the duration at a pretty high cost to the taxpayers. He'll have nurses 24/7 taking care of him. And, you know, that might be right up his alley. That's what he's been trying to do, is get a woman to take care of him 24/7. And Camille wasn't able to do that. That's why Mr. Cosby went out and took these women's virtues away with the drugs and raping them. It's a shame. Apparently, it's been going on since the early 60s, since he started in the comic field. And unfortunate, another star bites the dust. Stuff you do catch up to you. Everybody's got to pay the piper. Everybody's got to pay the band when they want to dance. And Mr. Cosby's going to pay the price. The man will die in prison now. And there's no way out. The guy's what, 81? 80? 81? 80? 80? Yeah, he's 80. And he is never going to get out of jail. Once he goes in, it's a death sentence. So good luck to you, Mr. Cosby. Have fun in there. I don't think you're going to have too much fun. Hey, there was a shooting today, an accidental shooting, it's being called, in an elementary school in Waynesboro, Tennessee. And this young fella had brought a gun in and discharged it in the bathroom. Can you believe it? They locked the school down. Police were called. Police were surrounded. And it was determined that this young fella brought in a gun from home, showing his friends in the bathroom, and it discharged. Well, it was fired, is what it was. So we'll discuss a little bit more on that when we come back after this break. Stay with us. This is 7-5 Radio.
The political cesspool, known worldwide as the South's foremost populist conservative radio program, hits the airwaves to bring you the other side of the news and to report on events which are vital to your welfare but are hushed up or distorted by the mainstream media. However, to continue doing this, we need your support. Go online at www.thepoliticalcesspool.org and make a safe and secure donation. If you prefer not to make an online donation, you can send us a check or money order to the address on the website. No matter which way you choose, the political cesspool needs your support. Go online to www.thepoliticalcesspool.org and make a donation today.
We fought, we learned, we struggled.
We won.
Despite Obama's best efforts, the newspaper of the human resistance survives. We have lived only to face a new nightmare, the war against the machines. Read about our struggle in The Sovereign, newspaper of the resistance. The Sovereign is a 24-page monthly tabloid newspaper about the war between man and machines. We've tried reason, we've tried legislation. We've tried every peaceful means imaginable, and all it's gotten us is shut out. So now we fight the machines. Order online today at thesovnews.com or find The Sovereign at select newsstands. Remember to read The Sovereign, newspaper of the resistance. The human resistance's battle against the machines will be everlasting. This is mercy. It was never our destiny to stop the age of Obama. It was merely to survive it. Together.
Dear Christine, I wanted to write and tell you some exciting news.
What are you doing?
Oh, hi. I'm writing Christine a letter to tell her about Emily's first tooth.
At 2 o'clock in the morning?
It's a mom thing.
I'll get her.
I don't have the words to thank you for having the courage to give us our most precious gift. We can only thank you by raising her the way you'd always hoped. How'd you get her to sleep so fast?
It's a dad thing. Honey, will you tell her thanks from me?
Of course I will.
Adoption. It's about love. A message from LDS Family Services.
You're back, and Scoop is just getting back from posting insults on Twitter. This is still 7-5 Radio.
And we're back from the break. Jay hasn't checked in yet, so I'm still going to be doing this solo. I was talking about this Waynesboro, Tennessee Elementary School discharge of a firearm by a young student, and place was locked down. Police were all over, like they're supposed to. And the SRO was right on target, found where the gun was discharged, and they nailed down who it was and what happened. Unfortunately, they are saying that, well, not unfortunately, bad word, bad choice of words. They are deeming it that this young student had no malice, that he was just showing off a gun. Well, heck, you know, I think it's time to go down to the parents and start talking to the parents about their kids and where they keep their guns, because that's very important to discuss it with your children, what to take to school and what not to take to school. You don't take anything, not a BB gun, not a real gun, not a knife, not a pocket knife. None of that is allowed in school anymore. And maybe you got to check your kids' bags before they leave the house. And if you can't check their bags, somebody's got to check their bags before they leave the house. They can't be bringing this thing in. It could have ended up tragically. There could have been somebody killed. And we don't want that. And that would have been a mess. It would have messed up this little kid's life forever, both of them, if somebody else got shot, if somebody got shot in that school. It's a horrible thing to have to listen to again. Another shooting, and who knows where it would have ended up. Thank goodness it didn't happen. Thank goodness nobody got hurt. I was reading something on Twitter today, and it's about, everybody remember the Amityville Horror? Okay. Well, the Lutz family, the one who made up this thing about the ghosts and all this crazy lunatic stuff, after they bought the house and they lived there for 28 days and the house was bleeding. And there's another segment of the Amityville Horror series. And the Lutzes are now trying to sue, because Harvey Weinstein, old Harvey Weinstein, was the producer of this new episode of the Amityville Horror segment. And it's a conglomerate. It's huge. It's all over the world. There's a lot of money in this fake story. You know, of course, you know about all the movies and all the books. And Ronnie DeFeo himself has been doing television shows for the past 10 or 12 years. And now they're trying to get Harvey Weinstein to get his name off of the credits on this new installment of the Amityville Horror. So they can make more money, because they figure nobody's going to buy it because Harvey Weinstein's name on it. So that's going to be in the courts for a little while. So we don't know if that episode is going to be coming out anytime soon or not. But getting back to Mr. Ronnie DeFeo, as you know, most of you know that I did some time in jail. And when I was in the Suffolk County Jail 26 years ago, I met Ronnie DeFeo. Yep, the Amityville Horror himself. He came down from Greenhaven prison, where he was serving five life sentences consecutively, to make a motion in front of Judge Stark. And I was sweeping the cell block. And he was in there just as creepy and weird as you see him on television. Won't look you in the eye, won't tell you the truth. He always says, well, I'm going to tell you the truth. But the truth doesn't come out. It's always twisted. You can have a conversation with this guy all day long. He'd say the same thing 10 different ways. And I'm going to tell you the truth. I'm going to tell you the truth. I'm going to tell you the truth. That's all he says. I'm going to tell you the truth. The truth is. And strange guy. Met him, talked to him for a couple of days, had my fill of that, and I guess that was enough for me. So he's up there in Greenhaven rotting away. He's been in for 43 years, and he's in his 60s now, in his late 60s, and he always says his days are numbered. Everybody's days are numbered. He just wants to get on television some more. Let's see, what else we got going on? Oh, North Korea. What do you guys think about North Korea? You got North Korea, South Korea holding hands and jumping back and forth over the border in the DMZ, the demilitarized zone that separates North and South Korea. The hugging and the kissing on the cheeks and the cheerfulness. I'd like to get some feedback, you know, on Twitter or on our website. And, you know, what do you guys think of it? Do you trust this guy? Do you trust this North Korean murderer? Murdered his members of his own family and members of his own army, because he didn't like the way they were dressed, or he didn't like the way they spoke up. So I think Mr. Trump, he's doing the right thing. He did something that nobody else could do in the past 60, 70 years. He got these two people together to stop the war, because it was just a ceasefire back in the late 50s. And that was when Eisenhower was president. That's how we got our soldiers out of that country, out of South Korea, and all the fighting. It was a ceasefire. There was never no official end to the war. Apparently now he's declaring an official end to the war, North Korean, South Korean conflict. Police action is what they're actually calling it. Excuse me. So I'd like to get some feedback from you guys about this Kim Jong-un. I don't trust him. I don't think anybody trusts him. And I'm pretty sure Donald Trump doesn't trust him. He's going to be going to meet this guy this month. He's supposed to go down to trying to pick a place. And some place that, you know, like Michael Corleone in The Godfather, place where he feels safe and secure. I don't think he'll come out of the bathroom blasting, but they're looking to China to hold this summit with the leaders of the three countries, North Korea, South Korea, and ours. And I'd love to be a fly on the wall, you know, during the whole thing. I probably couldn't understand what these guys are saying anyway. I hope Mr. Trump is on his game that day. I think you got to be on your A game to deal with a psychopath. So let's wish Mr. Trump well and good job. And as far as the Nobel Peace Prize goes, I believe Mr. Trump should have the Peace Prize, the Nobel Peace Prize. But somebody's going to put their foot down and say, no, that was all Barack Obama's doing. Barack Obama set the seeds for this summit, and which is a bunch of nonsense. I don't think that Obama had anything to do with it. I don't think Obama had anything to do with South Korea at all, except ignore what was going on over there, just kind of like he ignored Chicago. Apparently, anybody that's been a prisoner held by the North Korean regime is now in a safe house in South Korea, ready to come home. Is that a show of good faith by the North Korean government? We'll see. You know, are they going to destroy their launching pads or all these nuclear rockets that they've been shooting off the past couple of years? We'll see. You got to thank our guys for this bumper music. They do a great job. This is 75 Radio. We'll be back after the break.
Proclaiming liberty across the land. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
Are you a native son or daughter of the South who pleads the stars and bars? Someone not born in Dixieland, but who is a Johnny Reb at heart and looking for a place to shop that promotes Southern heritage? Well, your search is over. Dixie Republic is the place to go for all things celebrating the Confederacy and promoting Southern pride. Inside the log cabin just outside Traveler's Rest, South Carolina, Dixie Republic has t-shirts, hats, videos, flags, books, belt buckles, and some of the best mouth-watering barbecue sauce that will ever touch your lips. There's just about everything you want honoring the South at Dixie Republic. Well, you say that South Carolina's a bit too far for you to drive? Have no fear, my friend. All of this is just a mouse click away. Go online at www.dixierepublic.com. Your home for all things celebrating the Confederacy and promoting Southern pride.
Getting the kids to school, cleaning the house, doing the laundry. It seems that the work routine as a stay-at-home mom is never ending. And even though I'm the prime grocery shopper in our family of four, I simply don't have time to scrutinize all the labels on the countless food products I buy. Oh, sure, I've noticed all the latest certification seals. Organic, non-GMO, gluten-free. It definitely seems to be the latest craze. But it was only recently that kosher certification seals caught my attention. You see, my husband had me download an app called Kosher-tify, and it shed light on a century-old certification industry that slipped under the radar screen from the majority of our public. I also noticed a question mark at the end of the app name, and that makes great sense as there's far more questions regarding this industry than answers. In fact, the developers refer to this as the kosher question. Sure, I'm a busy mom and didn't pay attention to our food culture, but now I have transparency, a convenient grocery list feature, and the ability to eat in favor of my family's best interests, and you can discover it too at thekosherquestion.com.
I'm Michael Hill, President of the League of the South. I and my compatriots are Southern nationalists. We seek the survival, well-being, and independence of the Southern people, our people. The League wants a South that enjoys the sweet fruits of Christian liberty and prosperity, but our current situation won't allow it. We must have our independence from Washington, D.C., and the globalists. The present system cannot be reformed. Without independence, we will continue down this path of destruction. To us, this is not acceptable. I'm asking you, Southern man and woman, to join us today to free the South. Call us at 256-757-6789 or see our website at www.leagueofthesouth.com. God save the South.
We'll be right back.
Wow, you're still listening? Here's more 7-5 Radio.
All right, we're back. It's Cinco de Mayo. Anybody know what Cinco de Mayo really is, besides an excuse to get loaded? Drink lots of cerveza and lots of tequila. Actually, Cinco de Mayo is not the Independence Day that everybody thinks it is in Mexico. That's in sometime in September, really. It was a Cinco de Mayo commemorates the victory of a war that the Mexicans, you know, finally won a war against the French. And what does that tell you about the French? 1862, May 5th, 1862 was when they pushed the French back, and the French, you know, got on their boats and left. I think they went down to South America. That's why there's French Guiana now. But Cinco de Mayo is not just the day that Latinos picked to get loaded on the tequila and the cervezas and whatever else they like to drink. It's apparently a national holiday. I didn't know that. I read that this morning. A national holiday. George W. made it a national holiday for Cinco de Mayo, but it doesn't. It's not a federal holiday. It's just recognized in the United States because of the Latino population that we have. You know, so I wish the Latino population was a little more positive than it is now. However, Mr. Trump is working on that as well. In the 1930s, we had President Roosevelt made a declaration for Cinco de Mayo to be celebrated to bring Latin countries closer to the United States. And look how that worked out for him. He needs to be rolling in his grave over that one to see what's going on now with all this nonsense with these Latino gangs going on up here. But not to put a damper on Cinco de Mayo. God bless. They have a good day. They have a good day. And nobody gets hurt. Anything else going on in the world today? We have quite a few things going on. Let me just read this list here. All right. There's a story I want to tell you guys. My co-host Scoop says I tell good stories now, so I'm going to tell you guys a story. I was diagnosed with ADD and OCD about 8-9 years ago, in my early 50s, finally. Everybody just thought I was a lazy psycho, but there was a little bit of ADD and OCD. Now, I'm going to tell you how my OCD almost got me in trouble. About a week ago, I work in Chattanooga, and I was coming home. It was about 3 o'clock. Well, I was on my way to work, and I was running late. And the little gas thing lit up on the dashboard that I was running low on gas. You know, it's low fuel, which means you got like 2 gallons. So my choice was to stop and grab a few gallons and go to work, so I wouldn't have to stop on the way home. But with my OCD, I got to fill up the tank every time. I'm sorry. I don't stop at a gas station to put $5 in or $10 in. I got to fill it up every time. It don't. And I just didn't have the time to stop and fill it up. So I figured I'd do it when I got out of work about 3 a.m. And that's exactly what I did. I pull into a gas station downtown Chattanooga. And I'm filling my vehicle up. And out of nowhere, and I was looking around because at that hour of the morning, you never know. Even though the gas stations are lit, you never know. Out of the corner of my eye, I saw somebody walking up on me, and I turned, and there's this black guy. You know, he's got a long green coat on, you know, like one of those old army coats. And he starts talking to me about the police grabbed him because he was arguing with his wife. But his hands would move, you know, the sleight of hands like a magician. And I noticed from my experience being a police officer and in jail, he's like creeping up on me. And the only thing I had was that gas nozzle. I take the gas nozzle out of the gas tank and I pointed at him. I said, don't take another step. Just tell me what you want. Oh, you know, I need a little help. I need a little help. I says, I'm not the guy to help you. You know, I'm not the guy to help you. And that them feet just started to move little by little. Come, I says, don't come any closer. And I pointed the thing. I pointed the nozzle at him. You know, it sounds kind of harsh. It sounds kind of violent. But I didn't have nothing else. And he's, what are you going to do with that? And I said, you just need to back off, go on your way. I'm not going to help you. Go find somebody else. And he does one of those, like, quick step forwards, you know, like a boxer feints, like he's going to punch you, but he doesn't. Well, that's what he ended up doing. But during that process, he got doused. And I never knew that the gas comes out that fast from the pump like that. And he got doused. And the only thing I could do was in my jacket pocket, in my sweatshirt pocket, I had one of them little battery charges. It's cylindrical and it looks like a lighter. And I held it up to him and I said, get on your way, mister. Didn't say mister. It started with the same letter, but I said, get on your way. I'm going to light you up. I'm going to call you Richard Pryor. And he said, you a crazy cracker. You out of your mind. And he ran off. Well, if I didn't have OCD, I wouldn't have been in that position. And that's the way I look at it. I just didn't know what else to do with this guy. I didn't have anything to defend myself. I wasn't afraid of him. I wasn't afraid of him. I didn't want to fight him. So I guess I did the next best thing. I'm sure I'll get some comments on that. And let me, before you start sending some derogatory comments, I'd have doused him if he was green, orange, white, yellow, black, any color. If I felt threatened, and I did feel threatened, anybody would have gotten doused. And I hope I don't start a trend, but it diffused the situation. No harm, no foul. Yeah, the police showed up, and they wanted to make a report. I said, I'm not pressing charges. I don't even want to give you guys my name. I don't want my name on a report unless you go catch the guy. You know, follow the stink of gas and go catch the guy. So that was my story from last week. It was unfortunate it happened. I don't like to do those things. But sometimes you just got to go back to what you know best and defend yourself. I didn't have any mace, so I guess gasoline just worked just as well, if not better. So if that brother is listening, oh, well, that's what you get for walking up on somebody at 3:30 in the morning, waving those arms around like you're a magician. And I just shook my head on my way home. I just couldn't believe that happened. It seems like I got, you know, come mess with me, tattooed across my forehead. And he messed with the wrong guy that night. So, am I a hero? Nah, I'm not a hero. I just defused the situation. It could have gotten worse. Could have gotten me hurt. And if he jumped me, both would have gotten lumped up. Probably me worse because of my age and my arthritis. But he would have went away with a few lumps himself. But that's neither here nor there. I thought that would be a good story to tell you, let you know that it still happens out there to everybody. It still happens to people like me. I don't want to get into it too much. But anyway, I took that opportunity with the Chattanooga Police Department, gave me an idea. The Chattanooga Recruitment Police Academy was right down the street. The fire and the fire department and the police department have training in the same facility there. And I went down there and I introduced myself the other day. After that incident, and talked to one of the police officers, one of the fire officers about me, and, you know, maybe some of my cast members from the 7-5 documentary to come down and talk to recruits about corruption, how to avoid it, how to report it, how not to get involved in it. And we've done that before. I've done it before. Michael Dowd has done it before. We've talked in front of colleges and small law classes about police issues, the current day of policing, as Michael calls it, and what happened in the old, I can't say the old days, I just say the 80s. And it's unfortunate that it's still going on, and I don't like it. But we are out there to try and make amends for what we've done and give our knowledge to officers. With that, we'll be back after this.
Many of you have heard me talk about my Vigor score. You say, Sam, what on earth is all this Vigor stuff about? Well, Vigor is defined as zest for life, your strength in body and mind, your energy levels. It's kind of all wrapped into a term called Vigor. Would you like to improve your Vigor score? Well, you got to first take the free test. Get a hold of Kurt, C-U-R-T, at libertyroundtable.com or call Kurt Cosby at 801-669-2211. I took the test, got a 13 out of 32. Horrible, huh? But I worked on it with Kurt with some natural help and healing, and before you know it, now I've got an astounding 29 out of 32 on the Vigor score. Can you tell by the way I talk? Oh, yes, my zest for life has never been better. Get a hold of Kurt Cosby. That's 801-669-2211, and take your free Vigor test today, and you can learn where you stand. And then you can work on improving it and take the test again, and, oh, compare the results. You will be delighted. Get a hold of Kurt Cosby. Kurt, C-U-R-T, at libertyroundtable.com or 801-669-2211 for your free Vigor score test today.
As a parent, is receiving a faith-based, character-focused education for your children difficult to find? Do you believe that godly principles should be a central component in your child's education? Imagine a school where faith and integrity are at its center, where heritage and responsibility instill character. For over 40 years, American Heritage School has been educating both hearts and minds, bringing out academic excellence. This is the school where character and embracing the providence of a living God are fundamental, where students' national test scores average near the 90th percentile. With American Heritage School's Advanced Distance Education Program, distance is no longer an issue. With an accredited LDS-oriented curriculum from kindergarten through 12th grade, your children can attend from anywhere in the world. American Heritage School will prepare your child for more than a job. It will prepare them for life. To learn more, visit American-Heritage.org. That's American-Heritage.org.
Liberty is not free. Its costs are innumerable. Without monetary funding, the valiant efforts of freedom-loving Americans become diminished or outright defeated. We present a solution, the Give Me Liberty Fund. The plan is quite simple. Invite individual Americans to contribute less than a dollar a day. These monetary funds are used to promote liberty-minded media, organizations, events, candidates, movements, and speakers. In the spirit of transparency, all expenditures are published. Patriotic business owners provide discounted products and services to Give Me Liberty Fund members. Our greatest strength is in numbers. Go to GiveMeLibertyFund.com and become part of the solution today. GiveMeLibertyFund.com. Participate in the peaceful restoration of the greatest and freest country in the world.
This is 7-5 Radio with Walter Yuku. I mean, Walter Yurkow. I mean, Walter Kiwi. Here's Walton Scoop.
Everybody's got to be a comedian. That's a funny introduction. That goes back to when I first met James over on the cesspool. Political cesspool last September, October, when I was invited to talk on air on his show on Saturday. And he kept saying my name wrong, but I didn't say anything. And when they went off the air to for a break, my co-host said, "Dude, you got to say his name right. It's Yurkey, not Yurkey." whatever he was saying. Yeah, it was all right. You know, it is what it is. I've been called worse in stuff that I can't say on television. Stuff that I can't say on the radio either. So we'll just leave it at that. So yeah, that intro is humorous. It was humorous. I'm getting back to the Chattanooga Police Department. Something else I want to touch on that I've started to include in some of my lecture. When I do talk to law enforcement agencies, that, you know, corruption is inevitable. It's going to happen. You know, there are people out there that just, you know, like me, lost my mind and just did it and started doing it, got caught up in it. You know, that's why they made a movie, a documentary about us, how it got started. You know, there's a lot of money out there. And better men than me have survived. And, you know, trying to make some type of atonement. I don't think I have to. It's something that I want to do. I feel I have some knowledge and some insight. And maybe I can stop that one guy or two guys from grabbing that money and stuff it in their pockets and just getting it deeper and deeper and deeper and deeper. I speak from experience. Corruption, like I said, is inevitable. It's going to happen. Cops are going to get caught. They're going to get arrested. They're going to be embarrassed. They're going to be disgraced. And unfortunately, some of those police officers take their own life because they don't think they can live with the embarrassment, live with destroying their families. There's really no way to turn. You know, I didn't know where to go when it happened to me. I had no idea. I knew I disgraced it. I disgraced my family, my mom, my dad, you know, my siblings. I didn't feel I had a place to turn. But as the days went by, it wasn't the end of the world. So I'd like to include, you know, suicide watch on police officers that get arrested for doing things, whatever it may be. It could be something violent in the home, a domestic violence situation or a DUI. And it's happened. Police officers have committed suicide. They have gone into hotel rooms. Prime example, in 1986, the 77 precinct, there was an officer who was so distraught over what happened after being arrested in the 77 precinct that he did take his own life in a hotel room. Can't imagine what was going on in this fella's mind to do something like that. I'm sure his family would rather have him alive and have to go through the mess that he would have had to go through, courts and laws and probably prison, instead of having a funeral for him. So I'm going to include that in my lectures when I do get the chance to talk to some young officers, even the old timers too. They might not want to hear it. They might not like me, but it's a fact. And that's got to be looked out for also. There's got to be provisions made. There's no psych services after you get arrested. If you're on the job and you're drinking, if you're on the job and you're having marital troubles, they have psych services for you. And really, they're no help. They weren't any help for me in the mid-80s when I was going through a divorce and I was drinking a lot. They weren't any help. And certain provisions got to be made that if you're going to lock up a cop, he's got to have some type of psychological evaluation to make sure that he's not going to do anything stupid. And of course, then again, it's up to that individual to go and get this help if it happens, God forbid, if he does end up getting arrested. Getting back to the 7-5 just briefly, there's a rumor going around on Twitter that Sony's back to contacting people to make a feature-length movie which, you know, is good news. You know, it's pretty good. It's a good story. It's a true story. It's an honest story, or dishonest, honest story, story about dishonesty. And I think that this time it's for real. I know some of my cast members have talked to Sony. Some of them have contracts and have already talked to the director and would like to sit down with them and come up with a screenplay and a way to get this story told in, you know, less than 2 hours now. You know, they compare it to the Goodfellas. This is the cop version of Goodfellas, which I guess is okay, you know, but, you know, it's our story. It's our thing, so to speak. And I don't think that players such as myself, I'd want it as close to being real as possible and take the Hollywood out of it and just let the dirt fly and see who had dirt under their fingernails instead of, you know, trying to say everybody was prim and proper and that some of the storytellers, like in Goodfellas, you know, Henry Hill wasn't no angel, but they pretty much portrayed him as an angel in the movie, that he just happened to be there and be involved with it, that he didn't do anything forthgoing. But he must have knew and must have done a lot of stuff. They go went and put him in a witness protection program for all those years. So our movie, I hope, will be a success. I don't know when they're going to cast, who they're going to cast, and what they're looking to do. Hopefully they'll do something quickly. I mean, it's been 27 years since all this hit the fan. And sooner or later, you lose the effect. But who knows? Maybe it'll turn into a really good movie. Who knows? But that's my spiel on the 7-5 this week. Each week, I'll give you another bit of information. I talked to Chicky the other day, day before yesterday, Monday, I guess it was, no, Tuesday. And we talked for about a half an hour on the phone. We talked about the Yankees. We talked about the Mets. You know, we talked about work. We talked about, you know, what's going on with the other guys. And we're in touch. And Chicky's doing well. People ask me, you know, is he on Twitter? No, he's not. He's not into the social media thing. He's raising a nice family. And he's putting kids through college. And he is just a quiet type now. He's a quiet type now. So he wants everybody to know he's doing well. And if you spell Chicky, it's K-Y at the end. He reminds me to tell everybody. It's K-Y like the jelly. So I don't know where his mind is at. I guess that's a good euphemism or synopsism. What is it? Euphemism? To remember how to spell his name correctly. It's not K-E-I-I-E, K-E-Y. It's K-Y, like the K-Y jelly. And it's not a bump for K-Y jelly, but if you have some, look at it, and you'll know how to spell his name. Chicky sends his regards to all the people that give the support to the 7-5. And can't say fans. I don't know if we got fans. We have followers and stuff like that, but I don't know if we have fans. We got 7-5 fans out there? Maybe so. But hopefully you'll like the movie if it comes out. I was wondering where Jay went. He had some kind of prior engagement. He called me about 9 o'clock. 9 o'clock said they weren't going to be able to be on early part of the show. Doesn't look like he's going to be on any part of the show. So we'll have to give a shout out to Jay, and one of these days, all three of us will be on the air together. One of these days. I don't know when that'll be, but one of these days we're all going to be on the radio together. I've been in touch with some high school friends. Found some high school friends, and we're making contact too. And that's going to be, we talked about that on the first show about 3 weeks ago, and slowly we're making contacts. So going back to New York for a few days, probably around Labor Day. So if anybody wants to join us for a drink, you're welcome. This is 7-5 Radio. I'm Walter Yerkew, and we'll see you.
James Edwards for 7-5 Radio. For those who work the streets and the jails, thanks for keeping us safe. So long, everybody.